You know, when I was in high school, I used to trap muskrats. And I can remember on Saturdays, because school was out while you went out later, and I can remember coming off the lake about 12 o'clock noon, and there was a man going on the lake to go fishing. He had tip-ups and a pail with minis in it, and keeping his worms warm. And he had boots all hooked up and so forth, and he was walking on the lake. And so I yelled at him. I said, "Hey, unhook your boots. Ice is not all that thick." "Huh?" "Unhook your boots." He said, "Oh, shut up, kid." I said, "Go ahead and drown. See if I care." Like a real snot-nosed kid, you know. Well, it came over the radio on Sunday night that a man had gone fishing and hadn't come home. I said to my mother, "I'll bet he's over in Long Lake." And so we called the police. The next morning I went over with them, and I took two boards with me, and they had kind of a harness they put around me, and so I slid out on the ice in the direction he went, and sure enough, there was his body. So they slid a hook out that you could reach in and hook him somewhere under the arm or under the neck and pulled him out, and that was it. You know, he lost his life because he wouldn't listen to a teenager. You know, I think it's as important for you to listen to me as it is for us to listen to you. We have been where you are. You have not been where I am. For every year most of you have lived, I've lived three. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm smarter than you. But it does mean this. I've made more decisions than you. I've had more experiences than you. In Proverbs 1:5, it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." Now, all that's saying is you got to listen to learn. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding, or that's a man of common sense, shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, frankly, I think it's tough to be a college student. And I know something about that. We've had four youngsters, two boys, two girls. Three of them are college graduates. One went to college 2 years, and then went to Catherine Gibbs Secretarial School in Boston for 1 year because she wanted to be a private secretary. So we've known what it is to see them come up through high school, to go to college, and then get out of college, and then sweat a lot and pray a lot and cry a lot till they all end up where they're supposed to be. I think there's four reasons why it's tough to be a college student. One, it's the time that you fall in and out of love. It's kind of an interesting time. Because, you know, when you come to get married, you can put on the front of the church, "This marriage is sacred or scarred." So when the bride is walking down the aisle, she sees that sign, "This marriage is sacred or scarred." Then you can put one on the back, "This marriage is sacred or scarred." So as the bridegroom stands there, he can see the back. Because really, when you come right down to it, who you marry will make or break your life. If I hadn't married the right girl, the ministry that God gave Don Loney would have been over before he got started. And I married way out of my class. I came from a home that was so poor that when they threw the dog a bone, he signaled for a fair catch. Believe me, and that's poor. I married a girl whose father was a millionaire. After we got married, I took her to the first apartment, and the apartment that I took her to was smaller than the maid's quarters in her home. Now, had she been a crybaby, believe me, the ministry of Don Loney would have been over. And there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of girls that go to college. And boy, they mess themselves up, because there's a whale of a lot of divorces coming out of our Christian colleges today. That's for sure. But the four things that'll scar a marriage is getting married too soon. Too much too soon. And they don't last. Another one that'll scar a marriage is we had to. Oh, maybe you met a girl and your parents like each other and you've gone together so long, you just sort of feel, well, you got to go through with it. And of course, another thing that'll scar a marriage, and you say, well, we'll give it a try. You know, if it doesn't work, you can always get a divorce. You don't get married with escape clauses in the marriage contract. A divorce is a legal right we all possess, but it's the most devastating of all human experiences. You see, it's one of the great decisions you make. It's when you ask a person to step into your life and you step into that person's life and you become one and make a covenant to live together for the rest of your life. Then, of course, the last thing that'll scar a marriage is a mixed marriage. The Bible does speak about being unequally yoked. I remember when our youngest daughter was in high school, she started dating pretty heavy. She was 17 and a half, going with a boy that was 20, and he was spending like $25 on Friday nights, you know, they were going out to eat and so forth, and going every weekend, so finally I blew the whistle because she was going to college. And I said, now look, you're going too hot and heavy, you're going to college, you've got to give this thing a break. You know, when you get to college, the woods is going to be full of guys. And she retreated to her room. Came down only for meals. What's wrong, Betsy? Nothing is wrong. Well, I said, you're awfully quiet. I don't want to talk. Well, her hand. No, there's nothing that is wrong. Then she'd eat and rush right up to her room. Finally, her older sister came down and said, aren't you kind of being a little bit rough? I said, no. I said, tell her she gets over it by tomorrow morning. Or we start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in this room and we meet around the clock till we get it settled. Well, she went and told the guy she couldn't date him at all. I said, well, you lied, Betsy. That's not true. That's not what I said. I said, just not every weekend. He's spending too much. He's 2 years older. You're on different wavelengths. I know. Well, she went to college, and the inevitable happened. She met a young fellow at college, so she didn't write him a Dear John letter, but she told him at Christmas time. And I said, well, weren't you the young lady that 5.5 months ago, Dad, you don't understand? Boy, it's a big decision. The girls are married. The boys didn't. The youngest son had a broken engagement. Man, would he like to meet a nice girl. You see, he went to Taylor for 2 years, and then he transferred to Michigan State. And I thought when he got to Michigan State, he'd turn around and poo-poo the Christian school. And I said, what do you feel about Christian college now, Gordon? Boy, he said, you know, I'd like to go back to a Christian college and just talk to the guys. I said, what would you tell them? Well, he said, I would tell them if they wanted a party to go to a secular school like Michigan State where there are no hang-ups. Nobody worries about whether you have a little beer and so forth. It's no big deal. But he said, you know, I would tell them to take advantage of the girls in the Christian college. He said they're better dressed, they're better looking, they're more intelligent, they're more nice to be around. He went right down the line. He said they don't know the opportunity that they have. Second thing why it's tough to be a college student is eventually you got to decide, what am I going to do with my life? You know, you can't go around aiming at nothing and hitting it. And you can't just get out of bed in the morning and realize you've reached your potential. Because eventually you got to say, what am I going to do with my life? I remember one time a Sunday school teacher said, if you don't know what you're going to do with your life, that hit me. He said, give God 1 year of your life. And I went to the Moody Bible Institute. And then from there to Wheaton College. But you know, I got to Moody, they had all kinds of rules. They had a rule you had to wear a tie to every meal. So I'd hang a tie right down here, you know. Got to wear it. There it is, buddy, right there. Oh, no, it's got to be wore up here. That isn't what it says. Just wear a tie. I'm wearing it. Now look at it. And boy, then they had to change the rule book. Then I went on Thursday, they had missions day. Everybody had to go to missions class. Here we were sitting around having coffee and donuts, and in walked the president. Why aren't you boys in missions class? I said, page 22, paragraph 3, says, thou shalt not attend movies. And those movies in there are moving. He said, that means a commercial theater. I said, it says moving pictures. Those pictures are moving. He said, okay, I'll sit down and have a cup of coffee with you, but we're going to change that. Boy, I'm telling you, they ended up with more appendixes in that book, changing it and so forth, because we found a wonderful way of getting around. Of course, my mother was that way. She said, don't touch one of those donuts. We ate 11 of them, you know. Got around it. But you know, all I want to say is this. I went from Moody, went to Wheaton. No idea what I was going to do with my life. Youth for Christ started. Went to Cincinnati, Ohio. Spoke in a church. The afternoon they said, will you speak in a delinquent home? I said, why not? Now I went to this delinquent home and spoke. Now here you had all the theologians, all the teachers and everything else. You know, couldn't find out where Loney's going to fit into life. After I finished speaking to those boys, a man came up to me with a big cigar in his mouth, and he said, young man, he said, you're wasting your life talking to 46 boys. You ought to talk to 46,000. He said, you're not the best speaker I've heard. You do it the wrong way, but he said, they listen. If you want to speak in high schools, I have the connections. I said, I'm available tomorrow morning. Remember this, guys and girls. God cannot steer a ship that's standing still. I said, I'm available tomorrow morning. 3 hours later, he called me. Hughes High School, October, the fall of 1946. Never spoke in a high school in my life. Two assemblies, 2,700 kids. That's the day God said to Don Loney, that's where I want you. Our youngest son wanted to be a naturalist. He hated to tell guys when he was going to college he was going to be a naturalist because everybody said, no money in it. And it's a tough field to get into. And this is where it's hard on parents. You know, your parents struggle and sacrifice and so forth to put you through college and so forth, and then you get out. And it's 100 times harder to find a job today than it was when I got out. Then you can't find the place where you're supposed to be. Gordon wanted to take another job. I said, no, keep working for the Detroit Metro Park system at $4.50 an hour. Because when the time comes that you're ready to get a job, they don't want to take you from the factory for a naturalist job. They want you working at being a naturalist. Charles Wesley, they asked him, how do you get into the Lord's work? He said five things, and here they are. Number one, don't go in debt. Number two, get a good education. Number three, only date girls that have the same destiny as yours. Number four, don't fail to get a good knowledge of the Bible. And number five, do it now. Not bad. But I said, Gordon, work at it. Stay in there. Well, and I said, as long as you keep sending out resumes, as long as you keep trying, you're as welcome to live in this home as the flowers in May. For the last 7 years, my wife has fasted two meals on one day of the week to just pray for the kids, that they would find God's will for their life and get in where they belong. Gordon came to me one night and sat on the bed. He said, Dad, how long should I hang in there? I said, try 5 years, Gordon. But he said, it's embarrassing to be out of college and kids say, what are you doing? And he said, I really want to be a naturalist. I really believe that's where God wants me. Well, I said, hang in there for 5 years. 3.5 years went by, and he got his job. Betty got up in prayer meeting, and she said, I always promised the Lord, when each one of the kids got a job, I would get up and thank the Lord and thank all the people here in the church that's prayed for them. Then there was another testimony, and then Gordon got up. He said, I'm the one that got the job. And everybody laughed. Then he said, you know, God could have given me that job right out of college. But he said, I would have never learned the lessons that God had to teach me. And he broke down. Take a good look at me, will you? You're looking at a successful man. You gotta be kidding, you're saying. You're over the hill, fella. I know that. World War II, I was in class 4G. That's evacuate before women and children. I was a wreck then, I really was. Doctor examined me, says, read that sign on the wall. Of course, I had to take off my glasses. That's all I had to take off. When he said, read that sign on the wall, I said, what wall? He said, who sent you, the enemy? But boy, he had me pegged right there, didn't he? But you're looking at a successful man. You know what success is? Success is finding out what God wants you to do and then doing it. I've only done one thing since I've gotten out of college. That's what I'm doing today. Haven't done any different. Haven't jumped around from job to job. As a young man, I found out what God wanted me to do, and I did it. It's tough. Some of you, you know, people say, well, what are you going to do when you get a boy, you'd like to be able to tell them. It's hard. It's embarrassing. And let me tell you something, my friend. It's just as hard and just as difficult on your parents because they want God's best for you. Another reason why it's tough to be a college student is because of my definition of a teenager or a young person. And it's this. You're an automobile without brakes. You see, every fellow sitting here, physically, you're more of a man than I am. Now, that's not saying a whole lot, but you are. All the girls sitting here tonight, physically, you are more of a woman than your mother is. Your mother doesn't believe that, but your mother's over the hill. See, from 25, it's all downhill. 35, you're middle-aged. God only promises you 70 years. See, your problem is you are physically fully developed, but you lack the experience. You lack the judgment to go with that body. Oh, we got a young man in our church that went out and smarted off of the car and had an accident. He admitted he was speeding. He admitted it was foolish. He admitted it was wrong. And he said he is sorry, but he lost a leg, and he'll never grow that leg back. You see, you lack the experience, the judgment, to go with that body. That's why this present-day philosophy, do your own thing. You do your own thing, you're in trouble. And that's why it's important for you to listen to adults and adults to listen to you. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And then the last is this. It's tough to be a teenager because 80% of all the spiritual decisions you will ever make that will amount to anything will really be made before you reach 22 years of age. You won't make many great ones after that. And that's why the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But the verse I want to leave with you tonight is Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, rejoice, O young lady, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things God will bring you into judgment. Rejoice, O young man, rejoice, O young lady, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. Now, if you stop there, the beer ad's right. The beer ad says you only go around once. Live it with all the gusto you got. But it doesn't stop there. It says, but know thou that for all of these things God shall bring you into judgment. The greatest tragedy that can happen in your life, the greatest tragedy that can happen in my life, is to do something wrong and get away with it. Because eventually it catches up with you. Payday someday. Why it's tough to be a college student. One, it's the time you fall in and out of love. A lot of guys nail down their life partner during their college years, and girls. It's the time you decide, what am I going to do with my life? And boy, that's a toughie. It's not simple. It's the time of greatest temptation because you are an automobile without brakes. And it's the time of greatest spiritual decisions.